This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Halfway home on a Monday. Big victory Monday here on Ben and Woods 97.3 The Fan. Our YouTube chat has just gone ham. I mean, just ham. If we got paid by the comment, we could retire today. I'm not kidding. If we got a dollar for every comment, we are whacking up between us like $300,000 today. It's been insane. Thank you guys for being here. I knew you would this morning. I knew it. I felt it driving in. I felt it at 2:30 in the morning when I woke up and started immediately running mouth on Twitter. 2:30. I was up. I could not sleep. I was so fired up to come in and do this show today. And that's for all of you guys out there. Thanks so much for being here. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, who was in Dodger Stadium the last couple days. I want to hear more about your trip. Like, was it? So you drove up when?
So we left, like 6 hours before the game on Saturday.
Okay. So who's we?
So it's me and Jimmy DeDios, who is one of our 10 News photographers, photojournalists.
Who
and
drove?
He drove
you.
And then we had John Hall, who is one of our engineers, to run the satellite uplink.
Okay.
While we were up there. So it was the three of us and a minivan full of gear.
Okay.
That's loaded to the gills.
Is it a Channel 10?
Channel 10, okay. Minivan, white minivan with Channel 10
sit?
Logo on
front
the side.
Seat.
I did sit
shotgun
in the front seat.
Okay.
Yeah, they picked me up on the way up.
And then he got in the back.
And then he moved, and
wow.
John moved to the back, and I moved to the front.
I can't see too well. Is that Elton John over here? Holy smokes.
I navigated, though. I was in charge of getting us to Dodger Stadium.
Oh, I bet you did. I bet you
the proper
navigated.
Entrance. I had all the credentials, the parking and everything, so I kind of needed to be in a position of some authority in the front.
Now, Paulie, great job getting all that coordinated with Jeff Passan. Why Jimmy isn't on the phone with us right now so we could interview him is beyond me. We dropped the ball there. I would ask Jimmy if we had him. Jimmy, over or under 15, restaurants or businesses pointed out along the drive. And Jimmy would scream, over.
Over. For sure.
I mean,
without a doubt.
Oh, look at that, Dutch Brothers. Oh, nice. Oh, Dutch.
I will say, Jimmy and John, who did a great job, were not that food-oriented. I kept wanting them to...
Mickey
hey, let's go get something to eat. And there goes John's like, I brought some food with me. And I mean, I felt bad because the Dodgers would only give us two credentials. So John had to sit out in the van for both of the games.
You are effing kidding me. John, I am so sorry.
The entire 2 days spent in the Dodger Stadium parking lot. I would like just quit and die if I had to do that. But he did it with a smile. He brought his own snacks and water and... sat out there while we were inside for, like, the game on Saturday. I know the game time said 3 hours and 36
no
minutes.
Chance.
Felt like
Six
a nine-hour baseball game on Saturday. And I'm going, like, John is just sitting out there in the parking lot waiting for us to come out. Because then when we came out, he set up and we did the live shots and the satellite hookup and everything and went back live. I had the company credit card, so I had to pay for all the hotels and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we stayed in the lovely... the Holiday Inn and Suites in Glendale, California wasn't the most luxurious place, but it was fairly new and it served its purpose. It was only about 10 minutes from the ballpark. So, got up in the morning and then we went back to Dodger Stadium. I said, we got some time to kill. I mean, the game's not until 5 and it's like 10:30 in the morning. Went to like a sports bar that was just down the street and just had the football on for a couple of, there's no baseball even on until like 1 o'clock. So we were just kind of killing some time in the morning before we went out there, but they did a great job. And, it was good. It was good to be there. As I told Jeff Passan, and again, what a great, I thought great interview. I still see some mixed results. Some people are going, now I love Jeff Passan. Some are still like, still don't like that guy. But, for him to come on, I thought was, pretty incredible this morning. And, he knows. I mean, don't think that Jeff Passan doesn't get it. He does get it. He understands. You may disagree with him on certain things, but the man understands baseball and kind of the culture and the teams of baseball and the sport as well as anybody who works in the national media. I think that's a fair statement about Jeff Passan. So anyway, yeah, we had a good time, but it's a definitely different environment up in Los Angeles, as I was saying to Jeff. You go to a game there, people dress differently, they act differently, and that's true in other places as well. But they don't get painted with that brush. You don't expect Minneapolis and Miami to be the same. You expect it to be very different. But people somehow expect San Diego and Los Angeles maybe, oh, it's kind of just a tiny difference. No, it's as massive of a difference as you can kind of imagine. I felt like I was in a foreign country almost when you're in Dodger Stadium. It's just different. Even acting, it's totally, it's them. That's what they do. It's all about the celebrities and, you know, the people on the Jumbotron, and they get into it. I'm not saying that, you know, Dodgers fans don't like their team and don't want to support their team, but it's just different than it is here in San Diego.
Yeah, and I think my overarching point, well, it was, I didn't mean it to come off like, well, you need to write, you know, mean articles as well. It's more of like, hey, man, when you feed into that, you're telling us out of one side of your mouth that we shouldn't act like little brother, and then you call us little brother, right? And you, when you perpetuate that myth, that's kind of a tough look for you, and certainly is going to rank, you know, ruffle the feathers of some Padres fans out there. And, you know, again, my point being is like, hey, man, like, we've kind of proven that we're not little brother. You should write about that instead of all these great moves and, you know, the brilliance of that organization and, you know, all of that. I mean, it guarantees us nothing. It's one win last night. I'm not going to come in here this morning and think the Dodgers are out of it. They're not. They're a great team. That's why they won more games than anybody else. That's why they have home field advantage throughout. They're a really good team. They have been for a while. But when October comes around, it's been a little bit of the frost off the pumpkin, if you will.
So Tony wants me to describe examples of how it's different.
Yeah.
And I've not shared this story. So as I am, Jackson Merrill hits the home run, and I walk from left field, and I'm starting to make my way through the concourse back to the, you know, clubhouse and the stairs and the elevator, and Dodger fans are all leaving. And as I start walking out, there's this circle gathered around. I don't know what's going on. There's a woman who is down kind of on one hand, and she is,
I've seen,
like,
this twerking movie before,
in,
actually.
She's twerking in the air, oh, and then her friend is filming it for social media. There's a security guard there as well. He's not stopping it at all. He's just kind of watching, just seeing what's transpiring. And this, it was amazing how normal it felt like as you're walking by. Like, this, no one seems even remotely, like, flustered by the fact that this is just going on in the middle of the concourse,
yeah,
as people are walking out. That, oh yeah, someone twerking on social media is just something we do here at Dodger Stadium. I've never seen that at Petco Park. Not once, ever.
I saw some boobs at Petco Park once. Remember that girl? She was a Giants fan. Yeah. I hope she's doing well. Wherever she is, I hope she's having a fantastic day. Man, that was, what a great story. Didn't you also hear someone say Dodgers in six?
No, someone else, Adam, I think, had that one.
Oh, it was,
right?
Adam.
It was Adam's friend who said, oh, Dodgers in six.
Not Adam's friend. Somebody he overheard a Dodger fan. Yeah, it's a five-game series. So, it's been a fun show. But I do have an important announcement this morning as the president of Ben & Woods. It's why I dressed like the skipper.
You are. That's the first thing I said when I saw you this morning. I go, you look like Mike Schilt.
Well, I'm also a skipper, you know? So I wanted to dress the part this morning. And I wore this to our Tier 1 game yesterday. Shout out to the Tier 1s. Won another championship yesterday. Paulie's got the trophy. Did you see what happened to the trophy?
No. What happened to your trophy?
After we won last night, of course, we all went out and celebrated, and everyone wanted to get their hands on it and broke it. No, it fell out of my car this morning. So there it is. Champs. All right, Paulie, if you would, please, address the nation here. Today, I stand before you as a proud member of our San Diego community, a community that rallies around our beloved Padres. We are here not just to cheer for a team, but to embody the spirit of sportsmanship and camaraderie that makes our city great. As we continue our march through October, I want to take a moment to reflect on what it means to be a true fan. We know that rivalries can ignite passion. But let's ensure that our enthusiasm is grounded in respect and dignity. We've all seen the behavior, some fans from other teams, those who choose to engage in classless actions that mar the integrity of the game. Dodger fans in particular have often exhibited behaviors that are not just disappointing, but damaging to the spirit of baseball. From inappropriate chants to disrespectful gestures, their actions remind us of what we do not want to become. As Padres fans, we have the opportunity to set a different standard. We can stand united in our passion without resorting to negativity or hostility. We can cheer our team with pride while also respecting the game and its players on both sides of the field. We're better than the unsportsmanlike conduct we witnessed last night at Dodger Stadium. Let us commit to creating an environment at Petco Park that reflects our values, an environment that encourages excitement, joy, and respect. Let's cheer loud and proud. But let's do it with class. Let's celebrate every home run, every strikeout, and every stolen base with integrity and goodwill. I ask each of you to join me in this commitment. Let's be the fans who uplift our team and community, who show the world what it means to be part of the Friar family. Let's embrace the rivalry, but let's do so in a way that elevates the game and honors our passion, just as our beloved owner, Peter Seidler, would want us to do. Together, we can make our voices heard, not through anger, but through celebration. Let's create memories we can all cherish, showcasing our pride and love for the Padres without descending into the negativity. And remember, if Dodger fans want to fight other Dodger fans at Petco Park, let them. We want them to feel at home. Thank you for your unwavering support, and let's go Padres.
Four more years! Four more years of playoff appearances,
at least.
Appreciate it.
For your San Diego Padres. I know this is a Ben and Woods election year.
I think you just lost the election.
To foster unity moving forward, I don't want there to be any challenges. I'm going to gracefully bow out and concede the election here early. In fact, we don't even need to send out the ballots this year.
You're a class guy.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Proud to serve Ben and Woods another four more years.
I would love to still be a part of your administration forward.
We're still in. In fact, you just got promoted.
Thank you.
You're no longer the Secretary of Homeland Exploration.
So you just heard Woods call on Padres fans to demonstrate our classiness. I want to go one step further. If you see something that doesn't look like it belongs at Petco Park,
let them know.
Don't ignore it.
Yeah, for sure.
Stop it. Or alert security and make sure that we have this to lord over the Dodgers for all time.
Correct.
And I do not envy the security guards slated to work the third base, left field sections tomorrow.
No, I don't either. Just keep it together, right? And just remember, man, I like to think of Peter. How did he act? He certainly would have been doing what I did on Twitter. I get that. I understand that fully. That being said, I'll be at the game tomorrow night. I'm not going to fight anybody. I'm just going to have a good time. Win or lose, I'm going to have a great time.
We got postseason Sammy still coming up.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, what a show this has been. I want to talk more about Saturday's game as well. We haven't really gotten into that. Do that next after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Yesterday, Woods was obviously, as close to must-win as you get in the playoffs. You do not want to fall behind 2-0 in a best-of-five series. Not impossible to come back, but most teams do not. I think it's close to 90% of the time, at least. You're going to close out that series. 55% of the time, they go on to sweep when you win the first two games. So it was one the Padres really had to have after losing game one. But now that the Padres are coming home with a split, I look back at those last two games and I wonder how fortunate the Dodgers must feel to not be behind 2-0 right now. Because that game on Saturday obviously could have gone either way. Padres had two leads that they couldn't hold on to. And there's obviously some places that you can talk about in that game. Should they have attacked Shohei Ohtani differently? Should they have walked him with runners on base? Mike Schilt going to go to his grave, happy and sleeping peacefully about the decisions he made in that game. I know Padres fans don't all share Mike Schilt's opinion on that, but, what did you think on Saturday's game, ultimately the 7-5 loss to the Dodgers?
Well, I think, you can go back to Saturday night's game and you can point to one thing in particular, and it's the inability of Dylan Cease to be able to handle the bottom of their lineup. And of course Shohei's going to get his, man. He's going to get his. He turned around a 99 mile an hour heater at his letters, which is what he does. And so the fact that you couldn't keep Lux and Smith and you know, guys like that off the base paths just sets you up for very, very high stress pitches, very, very high stress innings. I didn't necessarily agree with the 2-2 walk to Mookie until I thought about it a little more and reached out to some special counsel that might be on the in my phone, and I said, I got to know some thoughts about this. And my special counsel said, well, I mean, you saw those two pitches that Morejon threw. If you're Mookie Betts, what are you looking for? What are you looking to do damage on? He just yanked a splitter, yanked a slider. What are you looking to do? 2-2. What's coming? Everybody on the planet knows, including Mookie Betts, you're going to get a fastball center cut. So put him on, play the matchup, fine. I said, okay, crap. I never really thought about that. And
it's weird. I disagree a little bit with your source.
Well, but the thing is,
you're not afraid of walking him, obviously. You're about to do it intentionally.
Right.
You can throw a fastball, but it doesn't have to be anywhere near the middle of the plate. Don't you give Mookie a chance to get himself out? He probably won't. But I mean, you throw something a little high and outside, you know, and
he's gonna probably offer at it because he also knows. He thinks he knows what's coming.
I mean, with two strikes, the advantage is with the pitcher. I don't care what the matchup is, and Mike Shildt had his numbers. How rarely Mookie strikes out against lefties, but that doesn't account for the fact there's already two strikes on him. That is in general circumstances, sure. Yes. Mookie's not going to strike out that often. He can do damage. He's a dangerous hitter in that spot. But you've got two strikes on him.
I agreed with you.
You don't want to throw another wild pitch and bury one in the dirt, which is where you probably could get swing and miss, but you can't. There's just no way. You can't throw, you know, 4 inches outside.
Remember this.
I don't know.
Playoff game. You've just yanked two pitches, one of which scored a run. So now you're going to hone it in with your pinpoint precision. The moment the inning sped up so freaking fast in that little short window, it sped up so fast. And those are the kinds of things that none of us will ever be able to understand, how fast that game speeds up. Yeah, and look, it goes back to Dylan Cease. I don't know enough about pitching to know what exactly was wrong with him that night, Benny, other than I sure felt that we could have used a lot more length from Dylan Cease and Girth that night specifically. But, hey, man, it's the playoffs. You're seeing it across baseball. Gerrit Cole got torched, you know, by the Royals. They ended up winning that game. But it's not easy to pitch in the playoffs. It's just not. And what Yu Darvish did last night makes it all that much more special because, you know, you're talking about a guy like Dylan Cease with top-tier stuff and still couldn't cut that lineup. They're a really good lineup.
Back to just Morejon quickly. It's the same guy. He got two strikes on Mookie. I mean, he did get there. So I would have given him the chance to get that third strike. What did you think about Donovan Solano going to the plate?
I felt great about it.
Instead of trying for the double play. Would have been a tough double play for sure. Even from my angle, getting that return throw to the pitcher trying to cover is,
I felt great about it.
Is a very tough play to end the inning.
He made it look so easy. And again, momentum's going one way. I know Freddie's running. I loved it. And it was a perfect throw. Great play, or not perfect throw, but a really nice play by Higgy there to kind of hold on to it, man.
And I talked to Jackson about the Teoscar liner that scored the two. You know, almost was there. And he talked about the fact that such a tough situation because you don't want to let that ball get past you.
Yeah.
So you're thinking about that. You want to make that play, though, and you're trying to decide, am I close enough to lay out for it, and how is that going to look, and how is it going to work? So just that ultimate no man's land that I think it doesn't mean he did anything wrong on that play.
We are so used to and conditioned, like the error from Manny. That's why I haven't tweeted anything like defeatist or doomer really all year, honestly. Like, I was trying to think of my last defeatist doomer tweet. When I tweeted the other night, it feels like it's not our night. It's, you know why? I saw Manny Machado make a throwing error. And that, to me, said, all right, this isn't, I mean, you know, he looked at the ball, had the whole thing, the whole Manny experience, great pick. And when he threw it up and away, I went, all right, not our night. Fine, flush it, get the next one. We still had a chance to win that game. So they played really good baseball. We played really bad baseball, and we still had a chance to win that game. So was very, very bummed about it, certainly. It sucked. I hated it. Hated every second about it. But it was, I think they learned from it. And I think Mike Schilt learned from it, too.
One thing we don't know is in Game 1, the Padres were not able to score off the high-leverage arms bullpen, of the Dodgers. They had chances. They didn't have bad at-bats necessarily, but they weren't able to get it done. They were yesterday, but that was against some of the lower-leverage guys at the back of their bullpen, not the Trinan, not Kopech. You know, you're going to see those guys certainly in the next couple of games. They can't go. They're not going out without a fight, and you will see those guys. Can the Padres add on or come back or break a tie when they have to later in this series against Kopech or Trinan? Because those guys were tough in Game 1, and they will be tough again the next time Dave Roberts goes to them in a close game late. Hopefully, Padres are ahead, but you can't guarantee that that'll be the case.
Yeah, no question, man. You know, I thought if you're a Dodger fan, you can't feel super great about what you saw out of Kopech. He throws hard, that's for sure. And then the kid last night, too. That's the kid I was like, oh, this guy could be a wild card for them. Padres roughed him up. The kid that throws 104.
Henriquez.
He's got really good stuff. Padres had no problem with.
Yeah. So I would be surprised if Roberts went to him again at all in this series.
Yeah.
Probably done. All right, we'll come back. Postseason Sammy was at the games with me at Dodger Stadium the last couple of days. We'll get his impressions on the first two in the NLDS coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Man, I hope this playoff run never ends.
For real. Well,
I mean, I know, you know, ultimately it has to end even if they win the World Series. But I kind of would love it if it just went on right through January into spring training.
The season's too short, in my opinion. They need 275 regular season games.
So much fun. It's just so much fun.
A couple months of playoffs. There's nothing like it. I mean, we haven't even talked about the other games. I mean, the game yesterday, we were all following along in the dugout. Mets-Phillies was bananas. Bananas. One of the guys on my kid's team, he's a Philly fan. He took all three of his sons out there. He texted me a picture before the game of them all nice and sweet posing, and then after, and it was like all three of them were like, ah! And he goes, you have no idea the day we just had, my buddy Billy Burris. And it was incredible.
I have like, no idea who's going to win that series.
None. Just when you think you've got it like clocked, the Mets come back with some devil magic and voodoo, and then the Phillies end up with Nick Castellanos. Like, everybody watch your back today, Nick Castellanos. He does it after the event, though, or
usually,
at the same
during
time.
During the simultaneously.
When I heard he walked it off, I go,
who died? Just like at the same time. So it's been incredible. Postseason baseball has been elite this year, as it usually is.
Now, it does come with a lot of work, especially for our next guest, Sam Levitt, who was up there doing his thing at Dodger Stadium. We will be joined by postseason Sammy right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. But the last time I saw Sam Levitt, he and Adam Klug were hitchhiking from Dodger Stadium, literally looking for a ride from anyone.
How'd that go?
Fortunately, I was there to pick them up. Well, Jimmy was in our 10 News van. We crammed in. Adam was sitting on my lap in the front seat. Sammy was sitting on John's lap in the back seat.
It's incredible.
And we ferried them down to their parking spot, which was 7 miles from Dodger Stadium. Sammy, I hope you made it home all right last night.
Well, if you're a fan of Dave Matthews Band, then Adam Klug's car was the place for you last night. We had a
God.
I knew Woodsy, we've never talked about this. I know you do not like Dave Matthews Band.
He's fine.
I mean, it could have been Dan and Shay all the way home, too, so.
Him, he's never told me, though, that he was such a DMB fan.
Well, it was good. We listened to some DMB, we talked, we had a good time, yes. But we were quite literally... walking out of the stadium and, you know, realizing that maybe the shuttle to where Adam was parked.
Why did he park so far?
Well, that's the parking he got. I mean, I can't control the parking he got.
What? You know you have to get to your car at some point, right? Just pay for it. Pay for the parking that's closer.
I don't know that's how it. Well, he was probably relatively close by Dodger Stadium standards,
right?
But I don't know that he didn't get the premier.
We had an amazing parking spot. I'll just
you
say
guys
that.
Did.
Yeah, Channel. We did. We were right, like pretty much backed up into the stadium gates is where we were parked.
Right.
So yeah,
there's There's a lot right outside the entrance that media go in, and then there's, I guess, other parking. And Adam was in the other parking, but we got very lucky. I don't know how we would have got down there if Ben and his crew there didn't roll up, and then it was, yes, like clown car, us piling in with my three different, you know, suitcases and pieces of equipment. So shout out to those guys for giving us a ride and getting us to the Klug Mobile.
Well, shout out to Sammy. Your coverage last night was incredible. My co-host over here taking selfies of himself sitting in the crowd at Dodger Stadium. Sammy's actually showing us what's happening on the field. The litter and the bottles being rained down.
Sammy was in the actual press box. He was a little closer to the action.
I look over and here's Ben giving proof of life selfies. I'm like, all right, well, listen, your coverage was outstanding as it always is. You were there, man. What was it like? What was it like in the press box when that stuff started happening?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was crazy to watch the baseballs being thrown in left field and then what was going on in right field. And honestly, just from that viewpoint, behind home plate to see all the security out on the field. I mean, it was really hard to know exactly what was going on and where stuff was being thrown from. And then you see videos later of stuff getting thrown in the Padres bullpen. And it was a mess for those 10 minutes. I mean, I thought Profar was rightfully really upset. I thought the Padres did. And Mike Schilt did a great job going out there, surrounding him, getting around him, supporting him. But from behind home plate, I mean, it was a mess. I mean, there was security everywhere, umpires everywhere, players everywhere, and then they were trying to seemingly sort out how to calm down the situation. And, you know, what I kept thinking of as that happened, as the Dodgers obviously had a lot to say to the Padres last night, as that environment started to kind of unravel throughout the course of the game, I just kept thinking to myself, have the Dodgers not learned that this is a Padres team that you don't want to irk?
Right.
That Jerks and Profar in particular is a guy you don't want to irk? Because I think you can make the argument this team plays its best baseball when they get irked, when you poke the bear. And we saw it really early in the season with the Will Smith irrelevant comments. You could argue that was a pivotal moment in the
huge
early part of the Padres season.
100%.
And for Jerks and Profar, because something happened with Jerks and Profar after that comment was made. And then you think about the National Series. Every time this team gets poked, they seem to rise to the moment and play some of their best baseball. And I thought, look, I thought last night, and I tweeted it out late last night, I think if you're a Padres fan, you have to be really, really proud, happy with everything they were last night. They were tough. They were poised. They rose to the moment. They talked with their play on the field, with their bats. Yu Darvish was outstanding on a night where they needed him to be. Even though they scored a lot of runs, they needed him to be outstanding, and he was vintage Yu Darvish. Manny Machado getting the team together after that wild bottom half of the seventh inning to calm things down, to refocus them, as Jackson Merrill, you know, said after the game, to make sure they were locked in. I just thought, and we'll see how the rest of the series plays out, probably a long way to go, but I just thought you have to be really proud of what they were last night, both on the field with the way they played and the way they handled that situation. And I don't care about Tatis making faces and obviously Profar, you know, jumping up and down after he literally robbed the home run from the fans in left field. Bottom line, you can't throw objects on the field. I mean, that just can't ever happen anywhere. But I was really impressed with what they were last night as a group. And to me, that you don't want to get them mad. You don't want to poke the bear, because we've seen that's when they tend to play some of their best and most inspired baseball.
Sam Levitt is with us. And Sam, you were in all those news conferences. I was struck pregame yesterday by Xander Bogaerts and some of the things he had to say about having to bounce back in the playoffs. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, look, I think Xander, for some of the ups and downs that he's had as a Padre so far, and injuries have played a part of it, the wrist last year and obviously the shoulder injury this year. You know, look, he had something that's pretty unique inside that clubhouse, and that's two World Series titles, and has been on two major postseason runs with the Red Sox to go win a World Series. And I thought yesterday the most important thing he talked about, and I thought he made a great point, because you talk about the game on Saturday. Game one was a tough loss. I mean, let's be honest about it. That felt like a really winnable game. It really did. They had a 3-0 lead. They had a 5-3 lead. You know, Dylan Cease wasn't great. And then you have kind of some of the things that happened in the fourth inning. And you can talk about the Betts walk and how they approached Ohtani. And you can go on and on and on and talk about the different situations in that game. And then the offense doesn't score in the final six innings. And then they have the opportunities late and they can't cash in. That felt like a really winnable game. I mean, it did. It felt like a missed opportunity game one for this team to take a one game to none lead. But Xander, you know, to bring it back to him, he talked yesterday before the game about, you know, look, it's the postseason, and even in a World Series run, you're going to have really tough losses. Like, it is about bouncing back. It is about how quickly you can bounce back. And look, this team, the Padres, even in the first half of the year when they would go on that, you know, 5-game losing skid, what did we say back then? They were always finding ways to kind of, they'll move past.
Oh, we're losing you. We're losing you, Sammy.
Oh, you got me now? You got me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
They were always finding ways
to bounce back, even in the first half of the season, even when they were losing, you know, 5 in a row and then bouncing back and getting to 500. Like, the ability to bounce back after tough losses and tough stretches really all year. So Xander's point was, look, that's even more imperative in the postseason, because you're going to have heartbreaking losses, right? Like, if you're the Mets and the Phillies, if you're the Mets waking up this morning, hey, last night's game was right there for the taking for you. You didn't win it. Instead of being up 2-0, you're now even at 1. You've got to find a way to now bounce back 48 hours later. So same applies for everybody, but, you know, that was kind of the gist of what Xander had to say yesterday.
We always talk about the emotional moments of the series, and I think they're big and they're relevant. And, you know, you hit 6 home runs, you're probably going to win any game. But ultimately, this series, I don't think anything has changed. When the Dodgers set up the top of their order and the bottom guys get on and the top guys come through, like they did in the first game,
yep,
Dodgers will win. Yesterday, when the Dodgers' top of the order goes 0-10 with 4 strikeouts, they're going to lose. Doesn't matter how many home runs the Padres are going to hit. If those guys don't come through, Sam, at the top of the order, Dodgers don't really have a chance. But, you know, they do come through a lot, so I think that's going to be key going forward here.
Yeah, and the Padres did a much better job against the bottom of their order as well yesterday. I mean, they had 5 hits and 2 walks and 4 runs scored, the bottom 4 spots in the Dodgers lineup in game one. And then yesterday, you looked at it, Edmund had a single, Lux had a single, Smith had a walk, but they had one guy get to second base out of that bottom of the order yesterday. And then you're right. Look, if Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman are not going to have any hits, then I don't see how the Dodgers win this series. Quite frankly, hey, of everything Yu Darvish did last night, how about him making Ohtani go 0-3 en route to an 0-4 night?
Crazy.
The way Ohtani's swinging it right now, I mean, that's pretty impressive. So you're right, Ben. I mean, look, if they don't do, you know, major things, Ohtani, Betts, and we'll see the status of there are, I would say, 2 pretty big injury notes, you know, right now. Freeman with the ankle coming out yesterday, and Xander Bogaerts apparently having a hamstring cramp. Guys, I'm not sure who plays shortstop if Xander can't play.
Nick Ahmed.
I'm not saying he can't play, but you know, he's not on the roster.
But
though,
you can bring him up for an injury.
But not if Xander is good. But then Xander's gone for the playoffs.
The whole playoffs,
which you can't do either. Sammy, we're going to let you go.
But okay, yeah, hamstring cramp, so hopefully nothing.
Yeah, hopefully it's, but even for one day, you've got an issue, even if he can't play for one game. Sammy, thank you so much. All the coverage, you can follow him at Sammy Lev. Unbelievable stuff. You know, he's been covering every second of it all season long, and including the playoffs, where he works even harder than he does in the regular season, which is pretty hard. And we appreciate Sammy very much. Yeah, the injury, you know, hopefully cramp, you know, you think that's not something that's going to, you know, impact you for multiple days, and having the day off is big. But, you know, Freddie Freeman's injury and Xander Bogaerts, both of them, very important for the two teams. And in for the Padres, it's actually maybe even more critical, because they do have an issue. If Xander's out and you don't have Ha-Sung Kim, now you're talking about what? Moving Jake over to
Tyler Wade,
to shortstop?
Yeah.
Is Tyler Wade going to get a start in a playoff game at shortstop? that is definitely not ideal, especially with Xander having come through in these first two games of the series.
Jackson Merrill to short, Brandon Lockridge to center.
Tatis back to short all of a sudden. I mean, there's definitely some issues there. They want to get Xander as healthy as possible in the next 24 hours. To make sure that he is on the field for them.
Yeah, get those bananas in you. Get that
for a team that has nothing but shortstops.
It's weird that we're short on shortstop again.
Woo! All right, we've got 1 hour still to go. I do want to talk about some of those other games from the weekend, not just yesterday's walk-off, but American League as well, which resumes today. We got two more baseball games coming up. We'll talk about all of it in the last hour of Bennett Woods, ahead on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.